Good afternoon. Thank you, Caleb, for those songs. A lot of old songs that I haven't sung in quite a while. And it was very good to worship our Lord together, singing songs of praise to Him. It's been a good day. I have some moisture in the air. Lots of things to be thankful for today. If you'd like to take out a Bible, I hope you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to spend our study this evening. We may reference other passages, we may read a couple, but for the most part, we're going to stick here in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to study verses 25 through 34. You know, whether we realize it or not, we prioritize every day. Every single day, we all have lists of things that we need to do. Now, some people do that very meticulously, and some people are very good at making lists and putting important things up at the top of that list and less important things at the bottom. However, if you're like me, you're probably not one of those people. But at any rate, we all prioritize, even if it's subconsciously. We go to work and we do those things that are most important first, and then we save the things that are less important for later. We all have things that we consider high priorities in our lives. And whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, our priorities say something about us. The things that we do first, those things that we consider to be high priorities, will reflect our attitude and will reflect the kind of people we are and the kind of lives that we live. What we focus on will tell people what is important to us in our life. It will tell people where we spend our time, how we spend our time, what we spend our time doing. And people can easily see what we're doing. People can easily see what our priorities are and the things and what things are important to us. I'd like to read to you, though, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Jesus says, "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But even if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is one of my favorite passages. I feel like I say that a lot when I'm up here talking to you. But this is one of my favorite passages. And I think it's probably a lot of people's favorite passages. Because we think about the comfort that this text brings. It's a very comforting message from our Lord. He comes to us and he says, "Don't worry about your life." It's a great passage. It's a great passage to read when we need comfort, when we're weary in this life. But today I want to look at this text a little bit differently, and I want this text to challenge us. I want this text to challenge us to set our priorities in order, to set priorities in a proper way, so that we can have our priorities in line with the teaching of Scripture and the teaching of Jesus. And I want to look and ask the question, have we set our priorities in order? Are they properly set so that they can guide us in our life today? Well, the first thing that I think we'll notice in this text is that the world wants your attention. The world always wants your attention. Look back up there in verse 25. He says, "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" In the very first portion of that text, he calls us to look back at the context. And I hope you'll read a few of the verses leading into this text with me. Go back first to verse 19, and I want to look at what Jesus has just said leading in to this text. Matthew chapter 6, look at verses 19 through 21 first. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So there in those verses leading up to our context, or rather leading up to our text in verse 25, Jesus says you have a choice. You can lay up your treasures here on earth where the moth is going to come and the rust is going to destroy, or you can lay up your treasures in heaven. He offers us that choice. Look at the next thing he says in verses 22 through 23. "The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Now, what is Jesus saying there? Well, he's talking about the things that we focus on, the things that we set our eye on. The eye is the lamp of the body. Those things that we focus on. If we focus on light, we will be filled with light. If we focus on darkness, we will be filled with darkness. So what's he doing here? He's offering us a choice. What you focus on will dictate where you go in life. He offers us this choice: focus on good things, focus on life, or focus on darkness. So we have these two choices now, the choice of where to lay our treasure and the choice of where we can focus ourselves. But note verse 24 now. He continues, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." One more time, what does Jesus do? He offers us a choice. He says, you have a choice of who your master is. You get to choose whether you are going to serve God and follow him, or you get to choose whether you're going to follow wealth. You get to choose whether you're going to follow the things of the world, those things that are fleshly and worldly. What is Christ pointing to in saying these things? He's presenting us with choices. We get to choose where our treasures go. We get to choose what to focus on. And we get to choose who to serve. Now, these are important choices. These are the utmost important things that we have to choose in life. Who are you going to serve? Where are you going to put your treasures? Those things are important. Jesus wants to make sure that our priorities are properly placed. He wants to make sure that our priorities are in the right place. So when we come to verse 25 now, he begins, "For this reason, because you have these choices, these important choices to make," he says, "do not be worried about your life." There in the second portion of verse 25. Don't worry about the things of this world. There are more important things for you to be worrying about. You should be worrying about where your treasures are laid up. You should be worried about who you're serving. You should be worried about where your focus is. Don't worry about the things of this world. Don't worry about the things of this life. That Christ said this, that he said, "Don't worry, don't be worried about your life," I think implies that worrying is a real problem for man. And I can see that in my own life, and I can see that in the life of those around me. We are a people who love to worry. We worry about politics. We worry about the weather. We worry about everything going on around us in this fleshly world. Look over in Hebrews chapter 4 with me real quick. Keep your finger there in Matthew chapter 6. But Hebrews chapter 4. And read with me verses 14 and 15, if you will. Here the author says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Jesus knows what we're going through. Jesus lived in this world. Jesus lived as a man in this world. He understands the situations that arise in life. Jesus knew when he wrote, or rather when he spoke in Matthew chapter 6, he knew that worry was a part of human existence, that people worry about things in life. And whether subconsciously or otherwise, we all have priorities, and we all set our priorities. We do the things, as we mentioned before, we do the things that we consider important first, and we save those things that are less important for later. Jesus tells us, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about those things of a worldly nature. Save those things for later. He says, don't put the things of this life very high on your list. Don't consider those things a high priority, because as he's going to tell us later, there are bigger things to worry about. Where are your treasures laid up? Where is your focus in life? Who are you serving in your life? See, Jesus tells us to look to those more important matters first. Those things that are of this world, those things that are of this life are not as important as eternal things. There in the third portion of this verse, then he goes on. He says, for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink. Now, I think this is interesting, because basically what Jesus is saying is he's saying, don't worry about the most important things in this life. At least that's what it seems like from a human standpoint. I mean, Jesus isn't saying don't sweat the small stuff. Jesus is saying don't look out for your sustenance and your shelter, that food and that clothing, those things that are so basic to our needs and the things that we need to live. These are basic needs. Without these, we would die. And Jesus says, don't worry about those. He looks at these things that from a worldly standpoint, we put at the top. And we say, well, we need to eat. We need to find this food. We need to clothe ourselves and find shelter. And he says, don't worry about those things, because God is going to take care of those things. I think all too often it's easy for us to get our priorities turned around. It's easy for us to look at this life and flip-flop that and say, well, we need to worry about food, and we need to worry about shelter. Or how many times do you hear people say, well, we need to worry about this sports tournament. This is what's important to us. We need to worry about this school project that's going on. We need to worry about this job opportunity. And those aren't even things that are necessary to life. Jesus looks at the most basic needs that we can have, the things necessary for basic survival. And he says, don't worry about those things. He then ends verse 25. He says, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Jesus finally offers a reason for his teaching. He finally offers us a reason as to why he says, don't worry about these basic things. He says, because there's more to life than food. There's more to life than clothing yourself or than finding shelter. He says, don't worry, because there's more to life than that. Now, you mean to tell me that there's more to life than living life? I mean, these things are the basic needs. After all, Jesus is teaching us not to worry about these most basic things. There's something much more important that we need to focus on. And that's what Jesus is going to go on to tell us. He hasn't told us what that important thing is just yet. For now, all he says is that there's more to life than the basics. There's more to life than what seems important to you at the time. Again, look at your priorities. Look at the list that you've established in your life. What's at the top of that list and what's at the bottom of that list? Is there more to life than that school project that you're working on? Is there more to life than making money and having financial security? Do these things seem like necessary for basic survival? I think in the moment they do. I was in school. I know if I don't pass that test, if I don't finish that paper, then I'm going to fail, and I'm not going to be secure in my life. If my kids don't compete in that sports tournament, they're going to sit the bench the rest of the year. And we don't want that. This is a necessity. If I don't take this new job, I'll never advance my career. These things seem like they're important. These things seem like they're necessary. But Jesus looked at even the most basic things and said, don't worry about those things. There's more to life than that. The world wants your attention. The world wants to fight you for your attention. But what Jesus goes on to say is that God's going to take care of those things. Look at the next section with me, verses 26 through 32. Jesus continues, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Jesus first says, look at the birds. He points to the birds and he says, here's an example of the way you need to live life. Birds don't plant food. Birds don't store their food. I've never once seen a bird flying around stressed out about where his next meal is going to come from. In fact, often, you know, birds just seem to haphazardly glide around. And when they see a worm, it seems like they go for it. And if they don't see a worm, they don't care. God cares for them. They don't get stressed about food. They don't get depressed looking for where their food is going to come from. They don't worry about those things. Why? Because God cares for them. Jesus goes on to say, are you not worth much more than they are? You may recall in Colossians chapter 1, we won't go over and read that verse, but you may recall that there's a statement there that talks about how God created everything in this world, all things seen and unseen. But if you'd like to go back to Genesis chapter 1 with me, I'd like to point something out that may be obvious to some of us, but I think it's important when we read Jesus' statement where he says, are you not worth much more than the birds of the air? Look back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. It says, then man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, I'm reading Genesis chapter 2, another great passage. But Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 through 25, my apologies. Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Right, so there we find the creation account where God created everything that lives in the water and everything that lives in the sky. And he said it's good. But skip down to verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And as we read later, it's not until after God created mankind that he called the creation very good. You see, God created the birds of the air and he created the fish of the sea. And he said, what I've created is good. But then he said, I'm going to create man differently. They're going to be different than the birds of the air. They're going to be different than the fish of the sea. They're going to be different than the cattle that walks the earth. He says, I'm going to make them in my image. When Jesus says, are you not worth much more than they? Is that not what Jesus is referring to? The fact that we've been made in the image of God? It's a rhetorical question that Jesus asks them. Of course, we are of more value than the birds of the air. Of course, your God is going to provide for you and take care of you. Verse 27, he goes on. He says, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Why are you worried about your clothing? He asks another rhetorical question. If the basics of life, this food and this clothing, if these are our top priorities, what is it going to accomplish in your life? Are you not still going to die? Are you not still going to go the way of all the earth and you're going to end up returning to dust just as you would if you were well fed and well clothed? He says, who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? There's no use in worrying about these things, Jesus says. Worrying about these things won't make you live any longer. Verses 28 through 30, he offers another example. He gave us the example of the birds. But now he says, why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Jesus offers us the example of the lilies of the field, the grass, the flowers, those things that even though they don't work for their clothes, they don't buy clothes, they don't go out and make their clothes. Well, that's a ridiculous picture to us, the idea of flowers and grass making their clothes. But they are still clothed like royalty. They're clothed greater than Solomon. Do you remember the splendor and the glory with which Solomon reigned over Israel? He was the last king, you remember, who was over the United Kingdom of Israel. He was the one who brought peace to the kingdom of Israel. He says, look at these flowers, these God's creation that is here today and tomorrow is gone. It's thrown into the furnace. It's dressed better than Solomon is. Again, Jesus tells us of our value. The grass will be here today and it'll be gone tomorrow. You are of lasting value, he says. You have an eternal soul, he says. God is going to take care of you. He continues in verses 31 and 32. He says, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. This would have been a scathing blow to a Jewish mind. If you understand the comparison Jesus is making, you understand that Jews and Gentiles didn't really get along. Jews and Gentiles weren't that fond of one another. It would kind of be like me calling someone a baby. That's not a comparison we like to have made because I'm more mature than a baby. You don't call me a baby. It's that sort of thing. You know, that it's just a comparison you don't want made. Why the animosity between the Jews and the Gentiles? Well, the Jews were in a covenant relationship with God. The Jews looked at themselves and said, look at us. We've been chosen by God. And they looked at all the other nations, that would be the Gentiles, and they said, you weren't chosen by God. And so there was this animosity. The Jews would look down on the Gentiles because the Gentiles weren't chosen by God. And the Gentiles would look down on the Jews because the Jews looked down on the Gentiles. And so we find this animosity throughout Scripture, but Jesus draws this comparison. He says, you're worrying about things that the Gentiles worry about. You're worrying about things that those outside of a covenant relationship with God, those outside of this relationship where God has promised to take care of you, you're worrying about things that they worry about. How much faith did that demonstrate in their God? How much faith did that show that the Jews truly had in the one who promised to provide them life? You remember at Mount Sinai that or rather later on in the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses recounts some of those things that happened. You remember that Moses speaking on behalf of God said, I have presented you with life and death. If you obey my commandments, you will receive life. He had already promised them life. He had promised them the things that he would provide for them. And to show this sort of lack of faith, Jesus tells them, no wonder, oh, you of little faith. These people were supposed to be relying on their God because their God chose them, because their God was in a covenant relationship with them. Instead, they made these worldly things a priority in their life. They set these things up that God should have been taking care of in their life as the most important. God is going to take care of the things that the world wants us to give attention to. But finally, in verse 33, Jesus concludes. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Think back to your list of priorities. Think back to that list, whether subconscious or a real tangible list you have. What's the first thing on your list? What's number one above anything else? If it's not God's kingdom, your priorities are upside down. if you're not seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if you're not focused your life on Him, if you have not laid up your treasures in heaven, if you have not, if you have not laid up your treasures in heaven, focused your life on Him, and chosen who your master will be, there it is, then your priorities are improperly placed. Our first and foremost goal should be to seek His kingdom, always. What is most important in your life? Is it financial security? Is it that job opportunity that you really want, that you just work for your whole life? Is that where your attention is drawn? Is it that school project, maybe for our young people? Is it that school project that you just can't seem to get done, so you're going to stay up all hours of the night ignoring your spiritual obligations? Is it baseball? Is it football? Is it soccer? Is it gymnastics? Those hit close home to me because I grew up playing baseball. And those were tough decisions that needed to be made. Is it friends? Is it your family? Is it that boyfriend or girlfriend that you have, or that significant other? What's most important in your life? If it's anything other than the kingdom of God, your priorities are upside down. He goes on to say in the second half of that verse, he says, if you seek first His kingdom, he says, all these things will be added to you. It's interesting that if we allow Christ, if we follow Christ, and if we allow Him to set our priorities, all of a sudden our priorities are greatly simplified. All of a sudden we don't have a list of 15 things to get done in a day. We just have two. We have to seek first His kingdom, and then all these things will be added to you. See how following Christ simplifies our priorities, because God is going to take care of those things. The world wants your attention. The world wants you to give in and care for those things of the world. But God says, I'm going to take care of those things. All you have to do is seek My kingdom first. You have to follow Me. You have to let Me be the master of your life. Jesus' teaching should always challenge us. Even though these words may be comforting here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' teaching should always be a challenge to our lives. Yes, He instructs us not to worry about food and clothing. Yes, that can be a very comforting idea. And He reminds us even that God is going to provide for us. But He challenges us that we must keep our priorities in the proper order. We cannot confuse what is most important in this life. And I'd like to add, just as far as some ways we can apply this practically in the coming weeks and months, the summer months tend to bring new challenges when it comes to prioritizing our life, especially when we try to properly prioritize. Summer activities can overwhelm our lives, whether it be the traveling that comes or the sports that are going to come up. Things of that nature. And it's not even that these activities are always bad. Jesus isn't saying that you shouldn't eat and you shouldn't put on clothes and you shouldn't buy a house. That's not what He's saying. He's saying, what's most important in your life? When it comes down to it, what choice are you going to make? Are you going to follow God, or are you going to follow the things of this life? What position do these things in our life hold? What position will they take in our life? As we think about our theme for this year that we've set up, what can I do for the church? How can I help personally serve this congregation of God's people? Well, here's a good place to start. Put Him first. Put God first in everything. Because it's only when we, as a congregation of God's people, put God first, that any real growth is going to happen. That any real sizable thing is going to happen to this group. Both spiritual growth and numerical growth. We must put God first. What do our priorities say about us? What do they say about you? Are you concerned about spiritual things? Are you concerned about the Lord's work? That's going to show in the way that you attend Bible studies, in the way that you study your Bible personally at home. It's going to show in the way you conduct your life. Are you concerned about the food and the clothing? Are you concerned about those hobbies that you may have? Are you concerned about those things of a worldly nature? Well, that's going to be evident to those who are around you. People will see that. People can tell what's important in your life. Let's make it a goal in our lives to follow the example of Christ. Let's make it our goal to seek first His kingdom in everything, in every way in our life. And He will add to us all the things that we need. If there's anything we can do for you this evening, if you are in need of our prayers, of our encouragement, if you need to confess sin before this congregation, if you need to put God first and His kingdom first, we're willing and ready to help you in any way. If you have not yet made that decision and you want to put God first today and be baptized with Him in water for the salvation and remission of your sins, then come, please, let us do anything we can to help you as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement.